Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Yes. Shake the hands of seven people. Welcome them to the presence of the Lord and tell them to get ready. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Emmanuel, 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 Elohim El Shaddai Adonai, Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel. Your name is God,
Emmanuel,
Emmanuel.
Your name is God,
your name.
Your name is God,
Emmanuel,
Emmanuel.
God is us living inside.
Emmanuel.
To the King of Kings. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody appreciative of God tonight, wave your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. All the people outside the fence, wave your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Know that the Lord is with you there. And I'm grateful that you are clearly hearing what we are saying, and you will never be the same. I appreciate all the pastors that have come from outside Federal Capital Territory. We appreciate all of you. We know that you will not return back the same in Jesus' name. We appreciate also all the pastors that saw the Apostles chapter 2, and let us see what the Lord is saying to us in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Acts of the Apostles, I'd like you to be very much alert. And I'd like everyone that is near you, just assist your neighbor to be alert. Because we came here, the end time move of the Holy Spirit is the theme of this conference. And we are trusting the Lord to be qualified for that move. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. And we will be reading from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. We stopped in verse 2 in the morning, so we are dealing on verse 3 now. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were saying, and they were amazed and marveled. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus. Verse 4 is very key to what we are doing here tonight. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and he sat upon each of them. Tonight we shall be considering the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You might actually phrase it as the end time anointing of the Holy Spirit, or the anointing that changes the world. The kind of anointing that changes the world. The secret of such an anointing. Here we are face to face with the apostles of Jesus. Men that the Bible said turned the world upside down. People that were a formidable force. A formidable force, so formidable that there was no devil in their generation that could resist their move and stop their progress. Jerusalem at that time was about 200,000 people in population. But in church history, it was written that within the first 3 years, over 50% of Jerusalem was arrested by this power of the Holy Ghost. And tonight, we want to see the secrets that made it possible for these apostles to rout this generation, their generation like that. In verse 3, where we read, the Bible said, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon them. It sat upon each of them. The amplified version of the Bible. Now the easy to read version said, and it divided tongues as of fire, appeared to them, and rested on each of them. It rested on each of them. The amplified version said, and there appeared unto them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each of them. The number one secret of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The number one secret of the anointing that changes the world is this. The Holy Spirit settles wherever he can rest. The Holy Spirit will settle
in the life of anybody where he can rest. The Bible said the tongues of fire rested on them. It sat on them. The fire did not stand on them. It sat on them. The anointing settles on lives where the spirit can rest. After the flood of Noah, in Genesis chapter 8 and in verse 8, the Bible said Noah sent a dove out of the ark to go out and then see the face of the earth, whether the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. A dove, and the dove is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. In verse 9 of that passage, the Bible says, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the earth. The dove went out to look for whom to settle upon, and the dove found no place of rest, so the dove had to return back to sender. In this generation, the dove is still looking for who to settle upon. Am I speaking to anybody here? In our days, in this end time, the Father from heaven is trying to send the dove, the power of the Holy Ghost, upon a church, upon a minister, upon a ministry, and the dove is looking for where to settle. But the Bible says there was no place of rest for the feet of the dove. So the dove had to return back. There are so many churches today that the Holy Spirit tried to enter, but he found no rest there, so he had to get out. There are so many lives this morning that the Holy Ghost has been trying to settle upon, but he had no place of settlement, so he had to return back to God who brought it. Am I speaking to anybody here today? The Bible said the cloven tongues as of fire, it settled upon many of them. Beloved brothers and sisters, God is calling you tonight. He is calling you to a life that can be restful enough for the Holy Ghost to settle. And what does this mean to you? Hear me. There are so many people today in this world who are too restless. They are too restless. They are too restless and too unsettled in their spirit for the Spirit of God to settle on them. God is looking for a calm soul. He's looking for a soul that is not agitated and restless. He's looking for a spirit that is quiet, a spirit that is settled, a spirit that is not turbulent, in order for the Holy Ghost, the dove of God, to settle. And what the greatest achievement of any pastor and of any child of God here tonight is to tell the Lord, here am I, I settle myself down, I quieten myself, and I am asking that the dove will settle. I am asking that the spirit can rest. There are also other people that are too busy. They are too busy for God. They are too full of diversities of activities. They live a life with many, many competing priorities. Many things are competing for space in their life with God. There are so many things that are struggling for their attention, struggling for their concentration, struggling for their focus. It might be a business pursuit. It might be another kind of pursuit. And they live a life that is permanently distracted. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I cannot settle in a life that is too busy, a life that is full of activity, a life with so many competing priorities, so many competing focus. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pursuit of other things, it makes it impossible for the genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost to settle. For some pastors, it is actually some legitimate ministerial duties, and these ministerial duties took them away from the presence of God. And these duties are not necessarily duties of soul winning or duties of anything, but just unusual business. They are busy with the work of the Lord, and they don't have time for the Lord of the work. Busy, busy, busy. They are busy with the work of the Lord, and they don't have the time for the Lord of the work. And he said, I am going to settle where I can rest. I don't have time to settle in the life of a man that does not have time for me. Am I speaking to somebody here? What God is saying to somebody tonight is, the time has come where you need to slow down on activities, to slow down on generalization, and get into specification, and begin to degeneralize yourself, and begin to get into specification, and begin to face what really matters, and begin to concentrate your life and your energy in your relationship with God. And from the strength of that relationship, it can catapult you to affect your generation. Busy. Busy like matter. Busy like matter. And Jesus said to matter, 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 you are bothered about too many things. But Mary has chosen the good part. The path of remaining at the feet of the master. The path of hearing from the master. The path of quietness, of calmness of spirit. And it shall not be taken from her. Martha was bothered about what did not matter. And Mary was concerned about the things that mattered. Am I speaking to anybody here tonight? The Holy Ghost is looking for a life that is stable enough for him to settle on. There are many whose lives are too noisy. The heart, the life is too noisy. The mind is too noisy. A life that is disorderly and disorganized, too noisy. Not a time of quietness to meditate and think about, where is my life going? What is really my assignment all about? In what way am I benefiting and profiting the kingdom? The mind is too noisy. And you know that anybody here that really wants to rest, you cannot rest where there is noise. The Holy Ghost is looking for where to rest. And he cannot rest where there is too much noise. Too much noise. Too much noise. Too much noise that makes a man unable to hear the voice of God. Too much noise. Disorderly, disorganized. I don't know about you, but when a room is disorganized, I can't sleep there. The bag is here, something is there, and it's just scattered. Sleep will never come. Where there is noise, it is not possible. Beloved, the Holy Ghost sat on them. If their head was shaky, he couldn't sit on them. If their head was unstable, he couldn't sit on them. The Holy Spirit of God is looking for a man in whose life he can rest. And for so many other people, their life is not decent enough for the rest of the spirit. The life is filled with a lot of filth and a lot of uncleanness. Do you understand? Like a room that is filled with dirty clothes. Like a room that is stuffy. Like a room that the air is damp. These lives are filled with filth. What they permit into their eyes and what they watch and what they do makes it impossible for the Holy Ghost to be uncomfortable. He says, you want me to sit inside you while you watch that ugly thing? I can't remain here. I won't watch it along with you. You want me to hang around you while you are messing up your body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I can't remain there. Am I speaking to somebody here? And I am going to come to this point a little bit more. But if every pastor who desires that anointing that makes a man unstoppable, that makes us unpredictable, that makes us uncontainable, that makes us uncontrollable. That uncontrollable, unpredictable, uncontainable anointing, where the devil doesn't know where you are coming from and he doesn't know where you are going, so he cannot hinder your progress. That kind of anointing is a product of coming to a point where you are settled enough for the Holy Ghost to rest. Some of us need to decongest our lives of some relationships and associations that makes your life too noisy, your life too busy, your life too corrupted and complicated. You decongest your life. When you come to the point and the dove can find rest in your life, he will rest. Somebody say amen. Second thing I want you to understand. The Bible said, the fire sat on their head. It was on their head the fire sat, not on their hand. It is good for the hand, not on the leg, not on the back. The fire sat on the head. The head, for anybody who is alive, knows that the head is the center of control and coordination for the body. There are people walking on the road without eyes, and people surviving without leg, and people surviving without hands. But there is not a person survives without the head. And the head is the central nervous system, like we say in biology or physiology or medicine, is the central nervous system, containing the central nervous system and some departments of the autonomic nervous system that controls the activity of the whole body. What is the Holy Ghost saying? He is saying, if you want me to use you, you must surrender your control. He said, I am not looking for your hand. I am not looking for your leg. I am looking for your head. I want to take over your life. The anointing, number 2 point, settles on a life that is ready to surrender control. The anointing settles on men who are willing to be controlled, to be coordinated, and to be directed by the Holy Spirit of God. They are ready to be controlled. They are ready to be coordinated. They are ready to be directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know what that means? It means the anointing of the Holy Ghost will settle in your life if you are ready for your personal agenda to be interrupted. Is somebody sleeping here this morning? Somebody lift up your right hand and say, interrupt me, Lord. Say it louder. Say, interrupt me, Lord. I hand over control. The control of my life. The control of my destiny. I hand over it to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I hand over control. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It's like Philip in the Bible. He was not the owner of his life. Holy Ghost said, to the road going to Damascus in the wilderness, move. He moves. He sees an Ethiopian eunuch. Say, join yourself to this chariot. Yes, sir. Enter the chariot, began to preach. Finishes preaching and baptized the man. And the Holy Ghost caught him up and said, you are transferred to another place right now. That is where your next assignment is. The Holy Ghost anointing in this end time belongs to those who are ready to no longer own their lives. Whether you are a pastor or you are a church member or anything you are, you want to come to it where you are saying to God, I am willing to come to the point before you where I no longer own my life. I no longer determine the direction for my life. Where I will be tomorrow is not my decision now. I am yours. I am in your hands. Direct me, Lord, in whichever direction you want to take me. Said, it sat on their head. God is looking for your head. He's looking for your brain. He's looking to control. Hear me now. If you really want to come to that point where God will cause you to become an amazement to principalities and powers, you will surrender. It was Mother Teresa that said, Lord, make me a pencil in your hands. A pencil in your hand means I do not determine what is drawn. Just carry me and paint the painting you want to paint with my life. Who is the anointing looking for? The man that is ready to surrender the driver's seat of his life to Jehovah and say, Agabaidu, take the steering. And say, Ancient of Days, take the steering. I am that I am, take the steering. Lion of the tribe of Judah, drive, I follow. Where you lead me, I follow. Where you direct me, I follow. Whatever you tell me about marriage, I follow it. Whatever you tell me about business, I follow it. Whatever you tell me about my life and destiny, I follow. You are the driver of my life. Am I speaking to anybody here now? And if God does not have the first place in your life, he cannot have the final say in your life. If God must have the final say in your life, then he must have the first place in your life. And I can assure you something. If God is the driver of the vehicle of your life, it can never have accident. There are so many lives that have accidents of destiny because the person driving is not God. They are driving themselves. The opinions of the world is driving them. What other people feel and think is driving them. But the Holy Ghost sat on their head. He said, this is what I want to take over. This head. The head from where you think and reason, I want to take it over. The head from where you make decisions and imaginations, I want to take it over. Is anybody hearing the voice of God here tonight? The anointing of the end time is for men and women who don't have a will of their own. Their will is crucified. Paul the apostle said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can somebody say amen? Lift up your right hand and say, my will is surrendered. Say it to God. Say, my will is surrendered. Say it to God. Say, my will is surrendered. Say it to God. Say, my will is surrendered. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are so many people today, pastors and ministers, their will is in competition with the will of God. Many individuals whose wills are in competition with the will of God. This is what God wants, and this is what they want. You are not saying anything now. This is who God wants you to marry, and this is the one you want to marry by yourself. This is what God wants you to do with your life, and this is what you want to do with your own life. And Catherine Kuhlman said, a woman of God that God used so much, she said, there can be no two wills in one person. There can be no two wills. It is either the will of God is ruling you or your own will is in charge of your life. And hear me, beloved brothers and sisters. No two wills. And he is not looking for golden or silver vessels necessarily, but looking for yielded vessels. Yielded vessels. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Do you know that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was confronted with the reality of drinking the iniquity of the whole world, he said to his Father, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. When he was about to be united with your sin, he who knew no sin, he saw the dread of the issue. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. And when he said that, and he surrendered with his will, then heaven came for his support. Angels came. Angels came in verse 43. And then angels came to strengthen him. Angels came to strengthen him the moment he surrendered his will. Hear me, brothers and sisters. It is when your will is surrendered that heaven will come down. When your will is surrendered, when you are no longer struggling with the will of God, you are no longer struggling in your personal life, in your ministry, with the will of God. When you are ready to do the will of God, heaven comes down. Let's take the journey one leg. Let's go. The fourth thing I saw, as one of the core things that happened to these apostles, the Bible said the fire was cloven. How many of you know the meaning of cloven? You know, the leg of a pig is cloven. Cloven footed. Do you know the meaning of cloven? You remember the Bible says that concerning some animals that are cloven, that must not be eaten, those that are cloven and cheweth not the cud, and so on. Cloven means divided, parted into two. It's a bifurcation. One fire divided into two departments. And the Lord ministered to me that the fire that is coming upon the ministers in this end time and the children of God has a twofold assignment. And remember that fire descended upon them before they were filled with the Spirit. Until the fire had landed, the Spirit couldn't enter. Lift up your right hand and say, Lord, I am ready for the fire. Say it louder. Say, I am ready for the fire. What are the two functions of that fire? Number one, the fire brings an impartation of purity. And number two, the fire brings an impartation of passion. The fire brings an impartation of purity, and it also brings an impartation of passion for God. How do I say this? Malachi chapter 3, look at what he said in verse 2. Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire. A refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap, verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. For what purpose? That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The power of God in your life is at the mercy of the purity of your life. The fire came. It came. It came to purify The first department of the cleave is to purify. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 52 and in verse 11, it said, be ye holy, ye that bear the vessel of the Lord. Here is, depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. How many of you want to be vessels of God in this end time? You want to carry fire, you want to carry oil, and after this world, you want to end your journey in eternity with God. Let me see your hand. He said, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Can I say something to you? Any pastor who is a liar stands on the altar to lie. Number one, he is disqualified from the end time oil. And number two, he is qualified for eternity in hell. Any minister of the gospel, anybody who claims to carry the spirit of the Lord and is living in unrighteousness and he does not repent, he is carrying a fire that will destroy him. You remember the sons of Aaron? They went into the temple to offer an offering in unrighteousness, and the consuming fire manifested from the Shekinah glory in between the tabernacle. Bram! And they were roasted on the spot. And God told their father, don't cry. Close his mouth. Don't cry. Don't cry. The Holy Ghost must possess holy people. The reason for the Holy Ghost is holiness. He is holy before he is spirit. Holy Spirit must possess holy people. Holy Spirit must use holy people. Is somebody hearing the voice of God here tonight? Holy Spirit must possess holy people. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 20. Look at that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Lift up your right hand. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Say it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I avoid the way of unholiness. I refuse the way of unholiness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that is separated, and meet, that is qualified for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. But he must separate himself first. Holy vessels are honorable vessels. They are used for honorable purposes. Holy vessels are honorable vessels. Am I speaking to somebody here? Unholy vessels are dishonorable vessels. God is saying that there is an anointing that is reserved for this end time, and it will not enter every vessel. But today the fire shall burn anything troubling you. That amen is too paralyzed. Say amen like a believer. Say amen like a believer. Sister Damaris from Venezuela said in the morning while the prayer was going on and we were dealing with the flesh and cutting out the flesh. How many of you were there in that morning? And we're dealing with the flesh. She saw that a lot of rubbish and garbage were being removed from the lives of the people and taken to the altar until it became very big like a monster. And then she looked at it and said, and she became afraid, thinking that that monster was going to attack her. Then she called the fire of the Holy Ghost, the light of God, and then it was consumed on the spot. So I believe that anything tormenting your flesh that does not want you to meet the requirements of God for this generation and doesn't want you to go to heaven, hear me, whether it is the spirit of lying and cheating and deception, or pride and arrogance, immorality, pornography, incest, every demonic spirit tormenting your life, they will catch fire tonight. That is too paralyzed. Shout it louder. Shout it louder. Somebody shout fire. Shout fire. Look at somebody saying, no devil can take me to hell. Say, no character of the flesh can take me to hell. I make up my mind today. Take your seat. Don't forget this. As long as you are alive, let me say this to you. God is not going to manage vessels in this end time. Since there are no vessels, let me manage this one. Since all the plates are broken, let me manage this broken plate. Since all the plates are not clean, let me just try and manage this one. Do you know the reason why? Because every time God carries an unholy vessel, that unholy vessel will attract satanic presence. This is what I mean. You don't need to invite flies when you carry dirty plate. It was plate you carried, but fly followed. You didn't ask the fly to come, but it came. Because you carried something that is a friend to the fly. God anointed Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3, and Satan stood beside Joshua. God called Joshua into ministry, and Joshua called Satan. God gave Joshua the microphone, and Joshua involved the devil. Why? He was wearing filthy garment. He didn't say, Satan, come. What he was wearing brought Satan. And God is not going to permit Satan to step on his altar because a minister invited Satan to stand with him. Are you following what I'm saying here today? This is the first bifurcation of the fire. And let me say this to you. Sanctification is a non-negotiable qualification. Non-negotiable qualification for kingdom assignment in this end time is a non-negotiable sanctification. Holiness is a non-negotiable qualification for kingdom service in this end time, and it is non-negotiable for eternity. Eternity, eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody hearing God say, thank you, Jesus. The second department of that fire is the department of passion. Somebody say passion. What is passion for God? A heart on fire for God. I mean, living a life of spiritual intensity, spiritual vibrancy, effervescence. You are at the boiling point. Romans chapter 12 verse 11. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. A man that is sold out for God. What the fire of the Holy Ghost came to do is to make you sell out. You sold out. Let me continue. Maybe you'll understand it. You sold out, completely sold out to God. You are drawn permanently to the presence of the consuming fire. In communion, in prayer, in worship. That fire burns your love for the world. It burns your love for the things of this world. That fire burns your love for everything worldly.
That fire makes you useless to the world. And it makes the world useless to you.
That fire makes it impossible for you and the world to have a meeting point. Passionate fire. That fire imparts a permanent hunger. A hunger for God. For us, a hunger for God's presence in this life. And a hunger to be with Him in eternity. And it is a dieless hunger. Hello?
I don't know if anybody is hearing something here tonight. I said some time ago, I believe it was last year's conference, every time a child is no longer hungry, the child is sick. For one day, 2 days, you say, eat, it's no need. It's sick. It's anorexia. It's a medical symptom.
Every time a Christian is no longer hungry for God, he is spiritually anorexic. He is sick. It's a pathology. It's a spiritual disease. He has been infected with wordo bacteria. Do you understand what I'm saying? The man is carrying an infection. He is carrying an infection. Anything that makes a man not to be hungry for his maker, a Christian not to long for God, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, he is a sick Christian. And what is making him not to desire God may take him to hell.
Can I really tell you something? Let me tell you something. This is one way to know whether you are genuine with God or not. Do you want to know? You are not ready to know.
Do you really want to know? One way to know that you have escaped this world, that you have escaped the grip of this world. One way to know that there is not a devil in hell that can tie you down and take you to hell. You know, one way to know. You have come to a point where nothing that is of this world has the capacity to satisfy. You got married and the hunger didn't die. You got a child and the vacuum is still there in your spirit. You are a millionaire and the millions here didn't satisfy you. You have all the houses and the cars you want. But there is something inside you that say, oh Lord, my God, early will I seek you. My soul tested for thee. My flesh longed for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, such as I have seen in the sanctuary. As the heart pants after the water brooks, so does my heart pant after you, O God. When shall I see the living God?
That was a billionaire talking. That was the owner of a country. Literally, he said, all the millions, and that man never lost one battle. He fought about 66 battles, he lost none. That man needed no money under heaven. But he said, I am at a point in my life where what I am longing for now is the day I will see my maker.
Hey, when will I see this God? When will I be with this one? When will I see my God? I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to be in the tabernacles of wickedness. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I might behold the beauty of the Lord, that I might inquire in his temple. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You came to the point We are nothing can quench what you desire. You came to the point in your life where there is nothing mundane, no position in government, no money in your pocket, no girl too beautiful, no man too handsome. There is nothing of this world that has the capacity to quench what you are looking for. He said, because it is only when we see him that we shall be as he is. Only when we see him face to face. I look forward to the day. I told our church members some time ago, I said, my greatest ambition is to depopulate hell and populate heaven, and to carry as many with me to God as possible. And then when I arrive at that day, he will look at me and say, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. I look forward to that day when I will realize that I didn't miss it. I didn't miss it after all these years of preaching. When I realize I didn't run my race in vain. When I realize that I didn't waste my time. When he said, welcome, you didn't miss it. You tried your best. And now enter into your joy. That day I will hear that. Instead of depart from me, I know you not. You prophesied in my name. You casted out demons in my name. But I knew you not. You that walked for iniquity. You labored for the flesh. You labored for yourself. You didn't labor for me. I refused that day. Beloved brothers and sisters, if you haven't come to a point where there is nothing in this world that cannot satisfy you, then your journey have not started yet. If you are settled down with 1 million naira in your account, or settled down with 10 million in your account, or settled down with one position in the office, and then you are settled enough not to be able to pray to God, you are settled enough not to be able to study the Bible, you are settled enough not to be able to do your assignment and to live a life that is pleasing to God, it has not started. Men like Peter and Paul, they lost their life. The world meant nothing to them. It was Peter that abandoned his fishing career, abandoned literally everything, and said, Master, I donate myself. What do you want to do with me? Do you understand? Those men were so lost. Lost in this world. They so much lost the appetite for this world, for the things of this world. They were so abnormal. The world was not worthy of them, to the point where Peter was going to die, and he was afraid of the cross, and he was backsliding. And the master met him, according to church history, and said, Peter, you are running away from death. Okay, let me go and die a second time. Peter said, no, sir. You will not die a second time. I will return back. And Peter returned and came to his persecutors. And he said, I am not worthy to die the way my master died. Crucify me upside down. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified with an X-shaped cross. Bartholomew was king. They tore his skin alive in North Africa. Thomas was burned to the stick in India. Every single one of them. When Thomas, they said, are you going to recant Jesus Christ? Thomas said, if I have preached this gospel, it is important that I put a seal on the document with my blood. Let me seal it. Let me give it a red seal with my blood. Are you hearing what I am saying here today? And he was smiling and celebrating with his face like the face of an angel when they were burning him in India. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is the kind of passion that the Holy Ghost comes to give people. The kind of Holy Ghost we receive, and yet we don't have time for God. No time for prayer. No time for evangelism. No time. I don't know that kind of Holy Ghost. anything, it makes it impossible for anything under heaven to take your attention. It makes it impossible for anything under heaven to be the center of your joy. It makes it impossible. And you came to the point in your life where you say, Master, I have decided that I will not be satisfied until I see your face. I have made up my mind. I am going to achieve things. But I have made up my mind that my satisfaction in life is to see your face.
Those 120 people on whom that fire came turned their world upside down. The Bible says the world was afraid to join to them because of what they carried. The shadow of Peter healed the sick because they carried something. Would you lift up your right hand tonight and you are going to ask the Lord before I go forward, Lord, this original fire of purity, this original fire of passion, I need it tonight. This original fire of purity,
original fire of passion, I need it, Lord, tonight.
Open your mouth and speak to God. Shikapakata kalabarabarayas. Lama namasoko pakata kalabarayas. Rakapakate keshokalabarabaray. Leko pakate keshokata kalabarayas.
This original fire. Open your mouth and speak to God. Worldliness in the heart of a Christian must die. It must die. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But they that do the will of God, they shall abide forever. The lust must die.
In the name of Jesus. Let me say two quick things and then we shall rise up and pray. Do you know that the Bible said what came upon these people? It was cloven tongues of fire. It separated on each other. Now, what I want you to understand, it was fire that was shaped like the tongue of a man. How many of you know that a candlelight actually, if you see it, it looks like a tongue? It's fire shaped in tongue form, landed on their head. That was to confirm only one thing, that the gospel is to be preached by men whose tongues are on fire. The gospel, the end time gospel, the life changing gospel, whether as a pastor or as a church member that needs to evangelize your neighbors,
that the gospel is to be preached by men whose tongues are on fire.
You know the reason why? There are so many untransformed people in church. Because fireless men with fireless tongues preaching to fireless people in a fireless church, producing fireless results. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Fireless people with fireless tongues producing a fireless gospel to a fireless people in a generation on the way to hellfire.
How can we handle fire without fire?
A real forest fire is handled with another fire. Are you following what I'm saying here today?
But tonight, one person here will say to God, set my tongue on fire.
Beloved, the key to setting your generation on fire is a tongue on fire. The key to setting a church on fire is a tongue on fire. The key to setting a city on fire is a pastor on fire with a tongue on fire.
Do you understand? When Peter preached, the Bible says they were caught to their hearts. Acts 5:33, they were caught. When was the last time your word caught anybody? When Jesus Christ spoke to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us in Luke 24:32? Did not our hearts burn? When was the last time we spoke and iniquity was burnt away from the life of people? I won't forget the testimony of the young man who testified here not too long ago. Indian hemp smoker and all manner of things he smoked. You remember this testimony? For 10 years or more, I don't remember the number of years, the mother, the father had done everything. No solution. One day he sat in the church here and he said he heard a message, keys to success. And the pastor says success in life means coming to the end of your life and you are ready to go and no regrets. He said he heard that one. Then he heard a man in the same message who is an Indian hemp smoker, a cocaine smoker, or an immoral person, is a squanderer of destiny. He's squandering his destiny. The word entered his mentality. Fire. He said, what? Coming to the end of my life, and it is time to go, and I am not drawing back. I am ready to meet God. No, I don't think so.
I am squandering my life.
No, sir.
Tobacco, marijuana lost taste in his mouth, in his mind. Nobody prayed for him yet, but the appetite for smoking died. I don't know the wrong appetite you came here with tonight. By the same fire that delivered that man, every desire in your life that is not a godly desire, tonight they shall die.
Hallelujah. Tongues of fire. How many of you need this tongue of fire? Take me past the outer court into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowd of people and the priest to sing their praise, Lord. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's found only in one place. So take me in to the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb.
So take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I saw the cherubims of glory. With six wings they flew. With two they covered their face. With two they covered their feet. And with two they flew, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. He is a pastor. Then he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of the people that are unclean. He was a pastor preaching for years in uncleanness. And then flew one of the cherubims, and he carried a live coal from off the altar, and he placed it on his tongue, on his mouth. Everybody here tonight need a tongue on fire, an encounter where Jehovah sent one of the seraphims to carry a fire from the altar to touch your tongue. Jeremiah said, I am a child. I cannot speak. And Almighty God said, I will touch your mouth. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9. I will touch your mouth. I will. And the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, I have put my words in thy mouth. There are many of us, you want the touch of God on your sick body, but the greatest place you may need now is your mouth. Touch my mouth, Jehovah God. When God touches your mouth, when you speak, demons will hear you. When God touches your mouth, sicknesses in your body will obey you. When God touches your mouth, unbelievers will come under conviction. Conviction for their sin. When God touches your mouth, you don't speak ordinary words. The words that come out of your mouth transforms the lives of people. Tonight, we are going to be praying. We are going to be praying. We are going to be praying. Somebody say, Lord, I need a touch. How many of you have heard of the man called Charles Finney? Charles G. Finney. He was a preacher of the gospel. I think God touched his mouth. God touched his mouth in a special way. Can I see some water there, please? God touched his mouth in a special way. And every time Finney spoke, things happened. People were cut down as if by a lightning. Pour it here. Excuse me. How many of you know that there is water in this cup? There's water in this cup. Is there water in this cup? There is water, see it. The camera can hold it. But this water is not going to do many people. It's just going to do a few people. But come, sir, and then hold the cup for me. And then, this is a level. Some people's life are at this level of the filling of the Holy Spirit. They have something, but it is not sufficient to handle them. Not to talk of handling a generation. The Spirit is in measures. If you remember the vision of Ezekiel, he went into the waters and it was to the ankle, and then he moved again, it was to the knee. And then it moved again, it was to the waist. So the matter, the thing is in levels. Some people have the spirit to just a little more level. And when they pray, they shake. But only them shake. Even the ground does not shake. Not to talk of shaking a generation. Some people have it to this level. But the apostles, the Bible says, they were filled. They were filled. Leave it. It's deliberate. They were filled. What they carry past their power. What they carry is beyond only them to handle. Eli, I don't know about you, but I want to carry something that is spilling out of my life, that is overflowing out of my life, that is changing a generation. I'm still coming. Like the oil that Aaron carried, the Bible said it flowed from the head to his beard. It flowed to the skirt of his garment. It flowed to the fringe of his cloth. What an oil. From the head to the neck, to the beard, to the dress, all the way to the skirt of his garment. I have every conviction that that oil dropped on the ground. Because it overflooded him and it touched the ground. Everywhere he passed, the oil touched the ground. There is only one way to know that Aaron has passed here. Follow the drop of the oil. Follow the drop of the oil. There is only one way to know that the people of the end time has passed here. He said a fire devoured before them and behind them. The fire is in front of them. When they have passed, the flame remains to remind you that they passed here with something.
In our place, there is a proverb that they used to say in those days when people used to donate, they used to donate food for classroom teacher. Say, everybody, bring today, all of you bring oranges for teacher. Today, all of you bring plantain for teacher. And some people will have the proverb, say, you don't have to eat, will you donate it for teacher? you don't have to eat yet, you are donating for teacher. You don't have to eat, can you donate to teacher? That is how many of us are. What we carry is not enough to handle us. Is it our generation is going to handle? Our relationship with God is not solid enough to affect our generation. Our encounter with God is not solid enough to change our generation. The oil that we carry is not solid enough. Yes, to change you yourself. I like you to get the picture. Be not drunk with wine. Wearing his excess. But be what? He is giving you an analogy. He said, let your filling with the Holy Ghost become equivalent to the way a drunkard is drunk with alcohol. And a drunkard does not become drunk by half a cup. He can just keep on drinking until he is saturated. When he, you feel it. The alcohol in his breath, the alcohol in his sweat. He has come to the point where the alcohol must change his behavior. How to be filled with this Holy Ghost and your behavior has not changed? Malaya, how is that it? Bear your feet. You must come to a point where everybody who knew you before knows that this man's behavior has changed. alcoholic man. Everybody say, be careful. You say, careful about what? That car, doesn't the driver have eyes? So let me see that driver. Come. It's moving. He's saturated.